Nine. So I want to get through 10 today and 11 next Sunday, Lord willing, because we're breaking for the summer early this year. Next Sunday will be the last 9 a.m. meeting until September. Mother's Day comes the following Sunday, and then the Fletchers are doing something weird. They're going away in May this year. So with all the scheduling things going on, we're instead of coming back for a Sunday or two and back and forth, we're going to break early. And so I would like to get through 11 next week, because 12 is a big transition in the book of Romans. And then we'll come back and review together in September and then pick up in 12. What I want to do this morning before we move into 10 is quickly review chapter 9. I'm going to stand in front of it to block it. So either from memory or looking down at the bold, uninspired headings, that can be helpful and sometimes confusing, depending which. What was chapter 9 addressing? What's the main point that God, through the Holy Spirit, via Paul, is after in Romans 9? What's being explained, or what questions being answered? Okay, yes, we now broach the subject even more so, the issue of the Jews. What's going on with the Jews? Okay, definitely related to that. And that actually comes a little bit more so even in chapter 10 and 11. But in chapter 9, the issue related to that needs to come first. Look at verse 6. But it is not as though the word of God has failed. So it's answering the question of, has God failed the Jews? Has God failed to uphold His word? What's going on here? Why have the Jews not, to a greater degree or a larger scale, embraced their Messiah? Right? And what is the answer from chapter 9? No. And what is the explanation for the no given to us in chapter 9? God chooses. Look at verse 11. Though they were not yet born, had done nothing either good or bad. Who's he talking about there? Yes. In order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of Him who calls. And you can jump down to verse 16. So then, it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. And then moving closer towards the end of the chapter, we have a quote or a reference from Hosea in verse 25. God's word hasn't failed. Actually, what's going on now with the gospel being salvation for all who believe, Jew and Gentile alike, isn't a failure of God's word. It's a fulfillment of God's word, because He had already foretold through Hosea that He would take a people who was not His people and make them His people. And He had also foretold through Isaiah, verse 29, that if He didn't sovereignly, freely choose to keep a remnant in Israel, they would be like Sodom and Gomorrah. In other words, there wouldn't be any Jews at all. Why are there any? Why any Jews? Why any Gentiles? You have to go back to 11 and 16. God chooses. It is on God. Now, towards the end of the chapter, though, we do pick up on the issue of faith. And I wish Matthew was here, because last week, or 2 weeks ago, or my goodness, whenever that was, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, last week was Resurrection Sunday, is that right? He brought up the issue about how faith is brought up here, so it's by faith. And so I left you with the question of, what is faith? And I want to get to that after we go through chapter 10, but you notice here in 9:30, he goes to the issue of faith. What shall we say then that Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it. That is, a righteousness that is by faith. That's a question that implies a statement. In other words, he says, Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it. By faith. Verse 31, but that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Again, another reference from the prophets, that's from Isaiah. And these references to what we call the Old Testament backs up the answer to the question that God's word, which really is saying God himself, has not failed. What Paul is explaining in the book of Romans, as we call it book, the letter to the Romans, about salvation to all who believe, Jew and Gentile alike, is not a failure on God's part, not a failure on his word, not a failure of his being faithful, but is a fulfillment of it. And whether it's with Jacob and Esau, Pharaoh, Jews, Gentiles, anyone, it is on God. God chooses. And it is only through, in the end here, faith. Now let's move into chapter 10, and then we'll get back to the issue of what is faith after we look at chapter 10. So let's go ahead and start reading here. Blair, would you start for us? And we'll just wiggle our way through 10:1, and we'll go all the way through chapter 10. Okay, if you're going to choose one word, obviously more would have to be added to it. If you're going to choose one word that this chapter was about, what word would you choose? And then we'll add to it to see what it's saying about that one word. One of the simple things in Bible study methods, how to handle the Word of God when you're trying to understand what the author is talking about, so that you then figure out what it means, one of the things you look for is repetition. What word is repeated a number of times in this passage? Righteousness. Okay. Besides any kind of conjunction or connecting words, what word? Believe, yes. What's the other word for believe? Faith. We get a little thrown off. We see believe, 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 and maybe you forget for a moment that belief is the same as faith. To believe is to have faith. It's the same concept, same word in the original, and that word comes up again and again and again. Believe, belief, belief. Verse 14, how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written from Isaiah again, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? Verse 17. And there's your little important conjunction, your little connecting word. So, faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. If you're to pick one word, faith or believe would be a great word. And what is this chapter saying about faith? You can use the word you brought up, John Ola, and put that in there. But what sentence would you now use to say what this chapter is saying about faith? Yeah, you're just verse 17 again. But we can throw in the word righteousness, because that's going to hopefully be ringing our bells of memory for back in the early chapters, right? No one is counted righteous by works of the law. How is it that anyone is counted righteous? It is in through faith in Jesus. And this chapter gets to the issue of the new aspect, right? We've already covered that, that righteousness comes through faith in Jesus. And now we're told how faith comes about. And how does faith come about? Yeah, verse 17 again that Larry just quoted back to us. It comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So the question he's answering, to use a question to follow his line of reasoning, because he does that himself a lot, is where does this faith come from? How does this faith come about? Well, he answers that question. How does it come about? When someone hears the word of Christ preached. That's why what comes before it, right? How can they hear unless they are told? How can they be told unless others are sent? So it comes about when someone hears the word of Christ preached. Does it always come about when someone hears the word of Christ preached? No, just give me a yes or no answer. Use the verses to back it up. The verses in the chapter. Does God's word going forth always result in faith? No. Where do you get it from? Where do you get that from? In the... Yeah. So he answers how it is that faith comes about. It comes about when the word of Christ is heard. You say, well, the word of Christ, that's not what the Israelites heard, is it? Of course it is. 1 Peter chapter 1. The prophets were speaking by the Spirit of Christ in them. So it's still the word of Christ. They heard it, and yet they did not all obey. Verse 16. This is a great place to go to show you that belief and obedience are synonymous in scriptural thinking. That's why Paul can say in Acts 17, God has commanded that all people should repent. It's a command. To believe it is to obey it. To obey it is to believe it. But Israel heard the word of Christ, and yet they did not all obey or believe. So, again, I know I'm repeating myself, but this is the main idea in chapter 10. How does faith come about? Faith comes about when the word of Christ is heard. Does that always result in those hearing being believers? No, it doesn't. How come some who hear the word of Christ believe, and some who hear it do not believe? Hint, hint. What was that, Laura? Back to chapter 9. It's on God. And this leads us now to the question I posed at the end of our last meeting, question that we're very concerned about. I don't believe Romans is particularly concerned about that. But the answer to the question is there, just not as directly as we'd like it, because again, I don't believe Paul's answering the question the way we would like it. But the question we have is, the passage answers, how does faith come about? The question we have, or the answer we think we already know, is where does faith come from? That's the question that we have. Where does that faith come from? And again, let's just use only Romans, anywhere we've been so far. Chapter 11 will add to this, but we're not going there today. Where does faith come from, and how would you support that from Romans? No, you can't. That's correlation. We can go there later. But let's start with just the letter we're in. Another way to ask this, we're going to get also at the issue of then, well, what is faith? So the how question is answered, but we get very concerned about the where. Anyone? From Romans, how would you answer the question about where faith comes from? How can you not answer that question from what's come in the previous chapter? Doesn't come from works, right? So we know that faith cannot be equated with works. That's valid and important part of this discussion and all the parts of it. So we can't say faith comes from human will or exertion. If we do, we contradict that which is clear in the context of this letter. Why else would we not be able to say it comes from man, from anywhere in Romans that we've already been? Yeah, so it puts it back on to God, who's the one who puts it there. But whoever believes in him, the end of that same verse, will not be put to shame. And there was our transition into the issue of faith or belief, right? So, well, how does anyone believe when they hear the word, but not all who hear it believe? So, where does faith come from? Where else in Romans would you go? Excuse me. To deny the claim that it comes from man. So 9:16 is an excellent place to go. Where else from anywhere previous to chapter 10 might you go? What does 4:17 say? Dave, was that you? What does it say? Okay, so that would be a chink on the, if we're doing the pros and cons, where does faith come from? That would point to that it comes from God, who raises the dead. Which then might want to make you go to Ephesians 2, but don't go there yet. Right? What else in Romans? Someone else started talking right after. Amir. And you're on to another aspect of this. So since it comes through faith, what is excluded? Boasting. So, sorry, wants to keep going back to Ephesians 2, and rightly so. But let's stay in Romans. It excludes boasting. So if you can't boast, you're not the source. We're in chapter 3 when you're playing that game. You know something's hidden in the room, and you're like, warmer, warmer. You're very hot. Well, you're really warm now. What about something else in chapter 3? That would debunk the idea that faith comes from man. Along with 9:16 and 4:17 and 3:27. Yes! 3, 10, and 11. What does that say? Go ahead and read that for us, Jess. I believe the preponderance of evidence would be against the idea that whatever you might say faith is, where it comes from cannot be from man in the context of the book of Romans. Right. Now this gets back to the other side, just like with 4:17. Now we've got the passages that point to the fact that God is the source. That God is the source. He raises the dead. The end of 10. No, where was that Sodom and Gomorrah one? So, there we go. The end of 9, not all the way to the end. If God had not left us. Right? So now we've got verse after verse that's actually pointing to that it's a work of God. Again, 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Something happens with some people when they hear the word of Christ. There's faith. That's how faith comes about, through the hearing of the word of Christ. But not all who hear believe. But for some, when they hear the word of Christ, faith is there. Faith comes, to use the very word of the passage. Faith comes through. Well, where does that faith come from? Verse after verse after verse, it can't be man. If it's coming from man, he can boast. If it's coming from man, that starts to line up with the idea of works. And even if you somehow describe it as not works, but it's coming from man, and I've heard that argument, no, it's not works. And why do people want to say it's not works? Because the scripture's clear. But it is coming from man. Well, then you have a reason to boast. Oh, no, I still can't boast. Right? Well, verse 16 of chapter 9, or verse 11 first, in order that God's purpose of election, not because of works, but because of Him who calls. The answer's always got to be back on God, even if we don't fully understand it. It's got to be on Him. Because if it's not on Him, then it depends on someone other than Him. And that's the opposite of what chapter 9 is saying. It's His purpose. It depends on Him, verse 16. Not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. Okay, so we have a number of verses in Romans that would heavily dismiss the idea that faith is coming from man. Some men just, men and women, that's what men means, right? Some people just have it, and those are the ones God chooses, and some people just don't have it, and God doesn't choose them. Right? The verses in Romans alone point away from that. Now, in the book of Romans, you know, back on your thinking caps and your review caps, and remember where we've been. What other ingredient or mechanism or what else is at play when the Word of God is heard, the Word of Christ, let me use that specifically, the Word of Christ is heard and some believe? What else is at work? The Holy Spirit. Where would you go in Romans? Chapter 8. The mind of the flesh is dead to God. It can't please God. Look down at 8. 14, 15. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Excuse me, got the whole, I don't know, it's allergies, I hope it's just allergies, but I got something going on. There's a work of the Spirit. And from what's in Romans, we could put together this. It is by faith alone that any is counted righteous before God. That's true with Abram. That's true now. The specific object of our faith now is the one of whom Abram and Isaiah and everyone else pointed to, Jesus, the Messiah. Through faith in Him, you are counted righteous before God. How does that faith come about? Well, when the word of Christ is heard, the Spirit of God does a work in some. Raising them from the dead. 4:17, as Dave pointed out. And all that is now sounding a lot like what, Larry? What passage? Ephesians chapter 2. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. But you've been raised with. And then 8, 9, and 10. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It is a gift of God, lest anyone should what, Amir? Lest anyone should boast. Lest anyone should boast. We're going to see. Yes. How did God harden Pharaoh's heart? Romans 9. From what we know of all of Scripture, that would be a ministry. Can I use that word? Of the Holy Spirit. Harden his heart. So yes, absolutely. And I thank God for His work of the Holy Spirit in people. By His grace, through the Spirit, God is at work both convicting those who hear and don't believe, as well as restraining evil. Yes. But there's a different work in those who believe, right? There's a being brought to life from 4:17 in Romans and Ephesians chapter 2, John chapter 1. Those who are born not of the flesh nor of the will of man. And then what does Jesus tell Nicodemus in chapter 3? He must be born from above. And what does he say? Well, the wind blows, no one knows where it comes from, and so it is with the Holy Spirit. So then we can start to correlate what we have elsewhere in Scripture, and we can most definitely say what faith is not. Faith is not something that comes from man. But then again, at the end of the day, I still scratch my head and say, so what if it did? Where did man come from? It has to be God. God has to be the source. We wouldn't have breath if it weren't for Him. We wouldn't exist if it weren't for Him. And if any of us are born into existence with this propensity to believe, or whatever you might call it, where's it coming from? Satan? No. That's the last thing Satan wants. And it can't come from us, because we didn't create our creation. It has to come. It has to. But that's a logical argument. That's a logical argument. I don't ever go to logical arguments first to want to base it on then. I want to start with the Scripture, and then we can go to theological arguments that seem logical based upon other theology. Sorry, Mike, go ahead. Where are we? What chapter? by. Absolutely. At the end of the day, that doesn't answer the question that it's raised in chapter 9, verse 19. You will say to me then, why does God still find fault? For who can resist his will? The answer is, who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Why have you made me like this, verse 21? Verse 21. Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? What if God desired? He is the one who can do what he wants. And we don't have to understand how this can be. It is amazing that He has revealed to us so much about the way things are, who He is, His reality, what He has done, what He will do, what work is going on now. How that can be, we don't have to have the answer to that question. We want it, but we don't have to have it. And Scripture doesn't give it. It does go on to say that what if God is doing this to make known the riches of His glory. Verse 23, for vessels of mercy, which He has prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom He has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. The ultimate answer is that it's for God's glory. Why? Why does God do it this way? But how can God do it that way? We don't get the answer to that. We don't have to get it. Just like, and some of you have heard me say this so many times, say you're a broken record, Carl, but it's true. Just like we don't have to answer how God can speak everything into existence. Or how God can have no beginning and no end. And the moment we can answer everything about God, we are in. Because then He is no bigger than you or I. He is nothing more than you or I can offer. What is the argument the granola crunchers always want to make about certain animals? Look at the intelligence they have. They're on par with humans. Well, if we can fully understand God, then we just pulled him down to make him on par with us. We don't get all questions answered. Why? Why does this person live and not that person? Why does Carl Jr.? Why does Carl Jr. get faith and Carl Sr. doesn't? We don't have the answers to the whys. And it's a good thing. Because otherwise, we bring God down to our level. We make Him like us. Who are here today and gone tomorrow, have no say in our birth, let alone how it is that the universe out there stays in its place. We often tend to defining faith as something of man that then signals to God that's who he's supposed to choose. We make faith, maybe not we, but we have this tendency as people. We make faith that which salvation is dependent upon, because biblically that's true. But we make it as something that's dependent upon man himself. Oh, that one's got faith or the propensity to have it, so I'll choose him, God says. When really, what faith is the signal, is the indicator. God saying, this is the one whom I've chosen. And I will choose whom I will choose. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. How do you know whom God has chosen? You know whom God has chosen because when they hear the word of Christ, the Holy Spirit gives them life, opens their eyes, convicts them of their sin, not just convicting of the sin, but brings them to repentance and faith. That's how you know whom God has chosen. Why has God chosen whom He has chosen? Because He has mercy upon whom He will. It's on Him. Why does He need one lump of clay one way and another lump of clay another way? Well, I don't know the full answer to that, but I know that in doing that, He has a purpose. And He's doing what He's doing so that His purpose and election stands. And at the end of the day, His mercy is made known to some, not all. That's reality, whether we like it or not. That's what we're told. And as professing Christians, we're okay with not knowing how God spoke everything into nothing, how God can have no needs and be completely independent and eternal. If we're okay with that, then we need to be okay with other things also. And this is one of them. It hits closer to home. Because, why? Why does this get to be more of a personal issue versus speaking creation into existence, His eternality? Why does the issue of His sovereignty and faith become a more personal issue? Right. Love and pride. We love others, but not the way God loves, and yet we love others and care about them, and then we have pride. We want to say, no, it's not by work, but it's by faith that I have. Our flesh always tends towards that. And the moment we stop realizing that, we're in the great trouble of sliding down that slope. Yes, sir. Yes. But that leads to a different response. Not one of anger, not one of pride, but one of, when you understand it biblically, that the choice was sovereignly of God, what's our response to the fact that we're a vessel of mercy? Worship? Humility? I'll just jump there. This is exactly what happens in the end of 11 before he gets to now. In view of the mercy of God, this is how you live. In the end of 11, most of you probably know what's in 11. Israel, there's been a hardening. Not just Pharaoh's been hardened, Israel, right? And chapter 11 ends. Look at verse 32. For God has consigned all to disobedience that He may have mercy on all. And then how does He go? Where does He go next? Worship. Doxology, as it's called. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, how inscrutable His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor, or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen. Yeah, worship. Wrong understanding of faith and us being the source doesn't lead to worship, it leads to pride, boasting, with this understanding of a sovereign God who can do anything he wants and has the right to do anything he wants, but thanks be to him, he is also merciful and compassionate, has chosen me. And the more we get to know ourselves, the more we should realize that it was certainly not because we were seeking him. Now we deserve it. Oh, the depth of the wisdom and the judgments of God. If God had not left us a remnant, we'd be gone. We'd be like Sodom and Gomorrah. No one left. Yeah? Means is the word of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith is the signal that one is now alive. It's not a source from with us, to use the words of Ephesians, is the gift of God. That clock back there, we need to put a new battery to keep running slow. Or is that same thing? I can't see that far. I mean, I can, but I can't. It's 10. We need to end. Next week, Lord willing, chapter 11. Feel free to read it, reread it, read all of 1 through 11. Let's pray. Father, you are indeed merciful and gracious, and if it were not for your sovereign choice, your plan to make known your mercy, none would be left. None of us would be here this morning. We would not believe. Merciful God, we praise you. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be you. All praise to you, God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for according to your great mercy, you have caused us to be born again to a living hope. Father, I pray that we would go, that we'd have beautiful feet, that we'd take the word of Christ to others, loved ones, as well as strangers. And I pray that you would be willing to grant life through the work of your Spirit. Raise the dead, Father, and bring more sons and daughters to glory. In Jesus' name.